Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, folks. It's Coffee Break Radio with Sheila Hardin, where Christian women are encouraged to step out in ministry. The reason that I started this show was a lot of women said, you know, I want to be in ministry, but I don't have a degree in seminary, or I'm not a pastor, and I just don't know what to do. And I just feel that the Lord calls us to step out in ministry right where we are in the environment that we're in, and it's just being the hands and feet of Jesus. It's not doing anything more than that. So we're here as an encouragement to women to step out of ministry, and we interview women from all over the world who have started just awesome ministries. But today, because it's so close to Valentine's Day, I wanted to do something a little bit different, and that is to read a letter to you. And this is the Father's Love Letter. It is something that I found. It's very special. Each sentence in here is a scripture from the Bible that tells us how much God loves us. So I'm going to read that this morning, and that's going to be the show, because he really does love us all. You, me, all of us. It starts out, my child. You may not know me, but I know everything about you. Psalm 139, 1. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. Psalm 139, 2. I'm familiar with all your ways. Psalm 139, 3. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. Matthew 29:31. For you were made in my image. Genesis 1:27. In me you live and move and have your being. Acts 17:28. For you are my offspring. Acts 17:28. I knew you even before you were conceived. Jeremiah 1:4-5. I chose you when I planned creation. Wow, that's a special one, isn't it? Ephesians 1:11-12. You were not a mistake. Psalm 139:15-16. For all your days are written in my book. Psalm 139:15-16. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. Acts 17:26. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. I knit you together in your mother's womb. Psalm 139:13. You brought forth on the day you were born. Psalm 71:6. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. John 8:41-44. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. 1 John 4:16. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you. 1 John 3:1. Simply because you are my child and I am your father. 1 John 1:3. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could. Matthew 7, 11, "For I am the perfect Father." Matthew 5:48. "Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand." James 1:17. "For I am your provider and I meet all your needs." Matthew 6:31-33. "My plan for your future has always been filled with hope." Jeremiah 29:11. "Because I love you with an everlasting love." Jeremiah 31:3. "My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore." Psalm 139:17-18. "And I rejoice over you with singing." Zephaniah 3:11. "I will never stop doing good to you." Jeremiah 32:40. "For you are my treasured possession." Exodus 19:5. "I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul." Jeremiah 32:41. "And I want to show you great and many marvelous things." Jeremiah 33:3. "If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me." Deuteronomy 4:29. "Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart." Psalm 37:4. "For it is I who gave you those desires." Philippians 2:13. "I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine." Ephesians 3:20. "For I am your greatest encourager." Thessalonians 2:16-17. "I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles." 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. "When you are heartbroken, I am close to you." Psalm 34:18. "As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart." Isaiah 40:11. "One day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes." Revelation 21:3-4. "And I will take away all the pain that you have suffered on this earth." Revelation 21:3-4. "For I am your Father, and I love you even as I have loved my Son." John 17:23. "For in Jesus my love for you is revealed." John 17:26. "He is the exact representation of my being." Hebrews 1:3. "He came to demonstrate that I am for you. I am not against you." Romans 8:31. "And to tell you that I am not counting your sins." 2 Corinthians 5:18-19. "Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled." 2 Corinthians 5:18-19. "His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you." 1 John 4:10. "I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love." Romans 8:28-39. "If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me, 1 John 2:23. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again, Romans 8:38-39. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen, Luke 15:7. I have always been Father and will always be Father, Ephesians 3:14-15. My question is, will you be my child? John 1:12-13. I'm waiting for you. Luke 15:11-32. Love your dad, God. Happy Valentine's Day, friends. I couldn't think of a better way to celebrate Valentine's Day than to think about all these scriptures that tell us how much Jesus loves us. Now, I think we've got a guest on the line. Hello, Mary? Hello, Mary?
Hello?
Hello, Mary?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
You know, I can hear you, but I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay,
great.
I'm sorry.
We're on the air.
Okay,
we're on the
okay,
air.
Okay, great.
I am very pleased to have with us today Mary Bernerschka. And she's an awesome woman who has started a ministry that assists particularly Christian schools in helping them with the children that they have that learn differently. And it's been my experience in many private schools and often in faith-based schools, the attention to the child that that learns differently and either needs support or needs more challenge is really not effectively addressed. And so I'm just so excited to have you here today, Mary, and to hear how you started this ministry and what it involves and about all the miracles you're seeing happen.
Well, there have been many, and I'll just tell you a bit of my story. I have four children. Three of my children have learning differences or special needs, and all of my children started in a Christian school because we wanted them to have a worldview, and we just we live in California, and the California system tends to be a little more liberal than what we want our children exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So they started in a Christian school, and by fourth grade, they were not able to, three of my four were not able to stay in the Christian school because they tend to teach in a traditional manner, and they mm-hmm. tend to teach to sort of just the in-the-middle kind of kids. And our kids didn't fit. And so they, you know, each one after the other, they would say, you know, we love having your kids here, but we can't serve them. And, you know, with a heart, you know, it wasn't like, mm-hmm. you know, just putting us out the back door, but with a heart, we can't serve them. We can't meet their needs. And so we then went to different public schools. In fact, we went to 12, with three of my kids, went to 12 different schools.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
You know, small private public-funded schools to just the regular public schools and being put in special ed classes to being homeschooled. And we just tried a variety of things. But my heart was so sad that they couldn't stay in a Christian environment because to us as a family, it seemed that if you are a Christian, you want to envelop everyone. You don't want to be isolating or exclusive or, you know, especially embracing the whole family. If you have a family of four kids, there's going to be one or two that learn a little differently that, you know, you don't want to have outside of that umbrella. And it's not that we couldn't teach our kids Christian values, because I believe the family is where they really learn them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the child feeling like, now, why are they getting taught there and I'm outside of that Christian circle? And
mm-hmm.
and so it was very challenging. And one of my sons was in a particularly small, very intensely liberal sort of anti-Christian, believe it or not, school. And it was just heartbreaking. So we took him out, and we just so happened there's four, you know, with four kids, you're running around on a Saturday, but they had a fast praise and prayer at the Rock. Miles McPherson at the Rock Church had an all-day fasting and prayer day.
Mm-hmm.
So we went as a family. Everybody was free, believe it or not, and we went. And
amazing.
It was absolutely totally a God thing. And yeah. My husband is friends with Miles, so we were up on the stage. So we got to sit up on the stage with him. They had couches and chairs, and the whole sanctuary was just filled with just prayer. So we walked in and just felt this, this heaviness in a good way of the Holy Spirit, just this thickness, this, you know, just embracing, sort of, you know, a feeling of embracing on my body when I walked in. It was very, very interesting. And they were just, when we walked in, we were a little late, and they were talking about schools and culture and, you know, what our kids are exposed to and how do we manage that as families and how do we direct them to Jesus. And it was just pointed. God was just specifically speaking to me and our family. And so I just started weeping, and I couldn't stop weeping.
Mm-hmm.
And it was embarrassing because we were up on stage, and everybody, you know, in the sanctuary was kind of thinking, now what is she doing? You know, it was really very, I haven't had that sort of weeping out of control experience before.
So
and
the Holy Spirit was definitely on you.
Holy Spirit was so on me, and people came over and prayed, and I felt like God was just saying, and I was feeling very sad for not only my kids that couldn't be in a Christian school, but many kids. And I saw them in all, you know, and I saw them in all kinds of, you know, environments. And so I felt that God said, you are designed to start this movement. And I am going to go before you. So I had this amazing sort of where my past, I'm a speech pathologist, and, you know, I have kids with special needs, and we've kind of been around to many different environments and many different school systems. And so I felt like God was saying my past and my passion, which is teaching and kids and special needs, And a purpose, it was all put together. So your past, your passion, and your purpose was all put together at that point. And I had this amazing, just spirit-filled feeling that God had this purpose for me, and he was going to use me. So from then, I didn't really understand it, and I didn't really talk about it because I didn't really understand it, but God just completely opened doors. It was just, there was people that said, you know, we'd love to hear about a school where it just, people were talking about special ed and Christian schools more and more and more, and I started down this road of discovery, and I discovered God put in front of us many, many people that eventually led us to the school that we are in now, which is the Rock Academy down in Point Loma.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember walking into the principal after we developed a really, you know, thought out business plan for opening, because what happens is Christian schools just feel like they can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
They can't afford to have, they can't have the services, and they can't serve them. So they feel they're nervous about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they also are concerned about their, as sad as that sounds, about the numbers in their scoring, in their SAT scores, in their, you know, what their days are, is the school worldwide or school-wide. And so we had all of those things addressed, and the principal that was there just said, you know, we were waiting for you. We were waiting for you. We knew that God wanted us to start this program here. So that was about a year and a half ago, and we started with, I needed to start the program. I needed $60,000. We laid it out. We laid that out to the Lord, and literally $60,000 came in from three different sources.
It Praise was God.
To the penny. It was exact. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And then we started a program with about 10 kids that learn differently, from, you know, specific learning disabilities to Asperger's, high-functioning autism, dyslexia. We had some visual impairments. So about 10 kids, and God provided an amazing special ed teacher. And we now have the program. It's only been a year and a half. We have 22 kids from 7th to 12th grade, and we are opening the lower school, which is K through 6th grade, and providing services for kids in the lower school. So it's really, really an exciting opportunity, and the parents are feeling, a lot of times it's the parents feel so much challenge in trying to raise their kids that learn differently. There's a lot of responsibility, even more than a typical learner.
Mm-hmm. And very much so.
Yes, and it eases the parents' anxiety, and it's just been a really miracle all the way around, that for the kids are doing really well.
You know, one of the experiences that I had, because I have a child who's a special learner, is the feeling of shame, because your child is struggling, and in some circles they just see that as poor parenting. And the parents get blamed, and you're trying your darndest, and nothing is working. And finally, when somebody says, "Oh no, you're not doing anything wrong. This little kiddo just needs a different approach," and then they'll get it. And it's a big relief for the families to hear that, and it's like, "Oh, I'm not a complete bozo as a parent."
Exactly.
There's a real reason here, yeah.
Exactly. I agree with that. I feel that God has called me to that specific ministry, which is ministering to parents and helping them feel that they are amazing and they are doing an amazing job, because most of them, 9 out of 10 of them, are absolutely phenomenal. But the culture doesn't understand that. Because
right.
They don't see that. All they see is the result, which is, how is the homework getting done, and what grades are they getting?
And why
how is their
the
behavior
homework
on the playground?
Right, and why isn't the homework being turned in every day, huh? What's going on with that? Yeah, so I totally understand what that's all about. And it is such a blessing for someone like you to come along to a parent and really kind of support them and say, yes, things are fine, and things are going to be better, and these are specific things you can do that will work, and it's a wonderful blessing to have someone like that.
Yeah, it's really been a blessing. And also to tell them, you know, your kid is uniquely designed and perfectly designed. God knew exactly what he was doing, and it may be harder, but it doesn't mean it's worse. It's actually better. And just to sort of see our kids from God's perspective, and to see that how he sees them, which is really a perfectly designed child of his. And our job is merely to, you know, as you know, is just to be, you know, sort of the instrument for God.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at them differently is really helpful, I think. And we help the staff look at these kids differently. You know,
yes.
It's not the behavior problem kids. They're the kids that probably are going to be the next, you know, pastor I mean, they're just amazing kids. And what we try to do is really feed their strengths and really just give them encouragement and purpose in their strengths, and understand their challenges and not be ashamed of their challenges, because that's who they are and that's God created them, and in our weakness, that's where God is the strongest. And so they get that perspective.
What I've noticed about kids that learn differently is that they're very brilliant in areas and very creative. And those gifts, when they're channeled correctly and guided, just are so important for our whole society.
Right, right. And what happens is, I think kids, they when they aren't successful in a regular school setting, they think, I'm not good, I can't do this, and they start with an attitude, then they begin an attitude of, I can't, I don't want to, I won't, and then it turns into a behavior issue. You know, mm-hmm. They're trying to manage in the best way that they can. They haven't been successful in the traditional way.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we try to do is to not look at that as a behavior, but really look at the person,
mm-hmm.
and look to see what is going on and how can we help you be successful, and what is it? Where's the gap? You know, what gap is between your being, which is an amazing creature of God, and being successful in school, and we try
yeah.
and encourage them to fill that gap in. So being really aware of what their challenges are and what their strengths are too is really important. And I think there's no shame in Christ, and there's no shame in having a learning issue and mm-hmm. learn differently.
Mm-hmm. You must be such a blessing to the families that you come in contact with. And I'll bet there are lots of families out there that would love to talk to you. Is there a way they can be in contact with you to talk with you about this, or maybe
sure.
even parents that are interested in starting a program like this at their school?
Absolutely.
How can they reach you?
Heavenly. They can email me, and my email is mary.ben, B-E-N, @roadrunner.com. So that's mary.ben @roadrunner.com.
Okay. Mary.ben @roadrunner.com. Great. So they can email you and get more information, maybe even have you come and speak at their school, maybe even consult with the school about setting up a program. Because I know these are needed. I absolutely know they're needed. We've been in several schools, and it's an important aspect that's not being attended to right now, and I'm so pleased that you're involved in this.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I feel very blessed that God has just placed this before us. It's really been a blessing to experience.
So well, it's been wonderful having you, and I'm so glad we connected and got things organized for this morning. And I'm sure that we'll run into each other soon.
Yes, I appreciate that. Okay, thank you so much.
God bless you, and thank you for being with us this morning.
Thanks. God bless you, too. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that's all for today, folks. We hope you have a wonderful day and a wonderful week. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.